இந்த அலமதுல்லா வசலாத் வசலாம் அலா அஷ்ரஃபுல் அம்பியா வாலா அலிஹி வாஸ்ஹாபிஹி வமன் வாலா உபாத். மை டியர் பிரதர்ஸ் அண்ட் சிஸ்டர்ஸ், வி ஆர் டாக்கிங் அபவுட் பில்டிங் அ ரிலேஷன்ஷிப் வித் த குர்ஆன். அண்ட் அஸ் ஐ மென்ஷன் டு யூ, தெர் ஆர் த்ரீ கைண்ட்ஸ் ஆஃப் ஆயத் இன் த குர்ஆன். ஆயத் ரிலேட்டிங் டு தி க்ளோரி அண்ட் மேஜஸ்டி ஆஃப் அல்லாஹ் சுப்ஹானஹு வதஆலா ஜல்ல ஜலாலுஹு, ஹிஸ் கிரியேஷன், ஹிஸ் பிளெஸிங்ஸ் ஆன் அஸ் அண்ட் ஸோ ஆன், ஆயத் ஆஃப் தட் நேச்சர். Then there is a second set of ayat which have to do with the ahkam of the sharia, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted and what he has not permitted. And then there is a third set of ayat which relate to the stories and the history of past people, and prominent among them are the stories of the Anbiya alayhi musallam. So briefly, we looked at the ayat relating to the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His creation and His blessings. And of course, it's not possible to do that in any detail or to do justice to the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But my purpose here is to briefly put markers there so that you then take interest in it yourself and go and do some own reading, because anyone who confines his learning of Islam to Fajr reminders is already in a loss. That's how can you learn anything that's 15 minutes a day? That's ridiculous. The idea is to remind us. That's why it's called a reminder. Remind us of what we need to do more. I was talking to another friend of ours in a different context, but I said to him that investment is to spend from what you have in order to get what you don't have. That is the meaning of investment. So if you look at investment, if you take a snapshot of investment, it will always look like a loss, because you have lost what you had just now, and you haven't yet got what you invested it for. So should you invest or not? It's a very simple question. If I just do a balance sheet, just a snapshot of the balance sheet, it will be in loss, because I had something. I had 100,000 and I invested 50,000 into that. I invested 50,000 out of that into a project which will give me 10 million. But if I take a snapshot, what do I see? I had 100,000, now I have 50,000. So, loss or gain? That is the issue. That is the issue with respect to deen. The issue with respect to deen is as simple as that. What shaitan tells us is, look at your balance sheet. You're crazy. You had 100,000 and you just lost 50,000. What is the meaning of loss? And the reality of the matter is that you spend 50,000 in order with the expectation of getting 10 million, but the reality is you might drop dead tomorrow. Or that project of 10 million may fail. It happens all the time. This is not fantasy. It happens all the time. And the project may fail for no fault of yours. Nothing wrong you did. Your assessment was right. Everything was correct. But, global circumstances, something happens, war breaks out or whatnot, and your project is gone down the drain. It's now history. Do we still have investment? Do you still have people investing or not? You don't have to look very far. Go to the stock exchanges of the world and they'll tell you that people are investing because people invest in hope. The actual investment is not in the project. The actual investment is in hope. And we hope, even though we have no control over the situation at all, we hope despite all kinds of data to show that more than likely our hope is not justified, still we hope. So in that context, what therefore must be our hope with respect to the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning investments with Him, Jalla Jalaluhu? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hope is not based on your own subjective assessment. It is not based on market conditions. It is not subject to the ups and downs of the financial markets or the global markets or international politics or anything. It is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which does not change. Now, in that context, if you find that you are not investing, what does it say about your actual belief in Allah? This is what the Quran teaches us. This is what the Quran teaches us. What does it tell us about the actual belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I think I keep reminding myself that it's high time we stop fooling ourselves. Get real with life. You can't live this lie forever. It's a lie. It's simple as that. It's an absolute lie. You say you have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you won't put your money where your mouth is. What does it mean? Where is this faith? And that's what the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you have this faith in Allah, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising you. So invest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have already made the deal. Inna Allah ashtara. The ayat of Surah Tawbah, Allah said, I have already done. This deal is done. I have sold the Jannah to the Mumineen in exchange for their wealth and their lives. So live your life according to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and do with your wealth as Allah has ordered you to do. And Jannah is yours guaranteed because the deal is done, the sale has been made. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the term of sale. Allah has purchased. What does it mean? But like any sale, it's conditional. The sale happens only if you pay the price. I can do a sale, a sale agreement, and I say, well, this is what I will pay you, and this is what you... Fine, agreement is good. But then you have to put up the cash. You have to hold up your end of the deal, and then of course it's done. If you say, well, we had this agreement, and I did everything on my side, and I still didn't get it, then it's a issue of deception by the seller. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is my Jannah, I'm giving it to you. Take it. And take it for what? For your life in any case which is mine. For your wealth in any case which is mine. And what is this Jannah? The least of it. And believe me, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Inna Allah ashtara, he's not talking about the least of the Jannah. He's talking about Jannah al-Firdaus. This Jannah, the least of it, the smallest of it, the least of it is 10 times this earth and everything it contains from the day it was created to the day it will end. You're not only talking about real estate, how many acres of land, no. The earth and whatever it contains refers to what? You let your imagination go wild. It refers to every single thing you can imagine and can't imagine. Multiplied by 10. And that also not what you see today. From the day it was created to the day it will end. 10 times that. That's the least of it. Absolute minimum. My Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu is incapable of giving less than that. The generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such. These are what we call the ghair mumkinat, what is not possible. When we say not possible for Allah, we mean it with the glory and majesty and the respect that is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say not possible, we mean that Allah will not do this, cannot do this. For example, telling Allah is not possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Going back on a promise is not possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So not possible here does not mean incapacity. It means that this Allah does not do. It's not possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will promise something and not give it. No, not possible. So stinginess, bukhl is not possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't give less. Allah always gives more. So the second set of ayat have to do with the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, obviously I'm not going to go into each one of them and say Allah said this, Allah said this, Allah said this. Basically, if we look at collectively the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they come into two basic parameters. You can define them by two basic parameters. One is with regard to ibadah, which is tawhid. La ilaha illallah. La nafi wa la dharra illallah. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no one who can harm or who can benefit other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first set or the first parameter as far as all the ayat of ahkam are concerned, from the first day to the last day, is that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every Nabi came with exactly the same message. No Nabi came with any message other than that. So the first set is that only and only all ibadah. And ibadah, please understand, refers to worship as we know it, which is salah and so forth. It refers to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It refers to dua, which is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this is part of ibadah. Dua mukhul ibadah, kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, dua is the essence of ibadah. So you cannot say, I am worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you make dua to somebody else. No. There is no one who accepts dua except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one who forgives sins except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of these things come under the issue of La ilaha illallah. Tawhid. And the second set or the second parameter to describe the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ittiba and the ita'at of the Nabi of the time. So the Nabi brings with him a sharia, the Nabi brings with him a set of rules to live this life. And if you look at the Quran, basically these are the two things. One is the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all the rest come under ita'at of the Nabi and ittiba of the Nabi. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did He promise for as a result of tawhid? As a result of worshipping only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised najat from the fire. Allah promised delivery from the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised Jannah. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promise with respect to ita'at of the Nabi and ittiba of the Nabi? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised His love, the hubb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the one who obeys the Nabi and the one who makes ittiba or emulates the Nabi. Two sets of not two sets, but the ayat relating to ahkam all come under these two parameters, tawhid and risalah. Now, many different ayats, but for example, the one you hear in Jumu'ah in the khutbah, وَمَنْ يُطِيِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. The one who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only these people are the ones who are successful. So very clearly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, what is success? Success is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, in our case, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This refers to all the messengers for their times. Obeying Isa alayhi salam today would not be obeying the messenger. Please understand this. It's not a question of saying, oh, but you see, this was permitted. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's bi'asat, after he was sent, all the rules and regulations, all the shariat of previous anbiya has been nullified, has been closed, mansukh. It is not valid anymore. The sharia which is valid now is the sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is for us to do. And the ittiba of the Nabi is the reason we study the seerah. So today, inshallah, we will end with this, and with Allah ta'ala, with tawfiqi, tomorrow, inshallah, we'll look at this further. But broadly, to understand, we need to invest in order to get a return. Investment is a sign of hope and trust, So ask a question and say, how much do I trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do I really believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do I really hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's not a matter of saying yes or no. Look at yourself and say, what in my actions is proof of this? Because when we go in our qubur, only the actions will talk. Nothing else. And the second one is, all the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are broadly classified under two headings. One is tawheed, which is ubudiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping only Allah. And the second one is risalat, which refers to obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and making his ittiba or emulating him in everything in our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the muttabi'een of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, among those who emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in everything in our lives. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of this emulation, to fill our lives with noor and barakah and to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.